The reading today comes from Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net onto the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on there from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Well, as we prepare to get into the sermon, I'm going to pray for us. God, we thank you that you are a God who loves us and cares for us. You are a God who is at work. We thank you for your word, and we pray this morning that as we think about what it means to follow you, you would be speaking your truth to us, helping us to know you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite Aynie to come up. This morning, we're going to do our sermon a bit differently. I'm not going to just preach to you. We've been talking over these past few weeks about following God, what it means to follow Jesus, to be his disciples. And so today I thought, rather than just me talking to you, we're actually going to have Aynie and I are going to have a conversation around discipleship and what it means to follow Jesus in the realities of life. This might be a little bit of an insight into our family, how we go about things, but also hopefully I'm praying that it's a practical thing that we might authentically think about life and faith. So Aynie, you are a small business owner.
Yeah.
You are a mother, a wife, a sister, a daughter, a friend, a human being. As you think about what it looks like to follow Jesus in your life, in all of these different aspects, what does it mean for you in this?
What?
What does it mean for you following Jesus in all these different roles that you play in your life?
Okay. Yeah. How do you be a disciple in the day-to-day? I think when I think of the disciples, or when I think of being a disciple, I think of the disciples. I think that's a really easy parallel to make. And it's maybe a bit millennial of me to insert myself into a narrative, but I look at the way the disciples were, and often in our small groups we sit and we chat about how now, post-resurrection, we have the answer that Jesus was the real deal, and we look at the disciples and we go, come on, boys, like, get it together. How could you not see? It's so obvious. But what the Gospels don't have space to tell us is they were walking together on the road and talking and wondering and dreaming. And then one of their feet would get sore and they'd sit down and they'd talk some more. And I apologise if this is crass. They had to go to the toilet and they had to eat and they had to wash and they had to do the ins and the outs of the day-to-days that we do. And ours are, you know, our life is different than the disciples' lives were. Maybe our lives are busier and noisier, but just in different ways. And so I think just wondering what it would have been like to be on the road with Jesus and following him without question. These men dropped the family business and went and followed Jesus because he said, come. They left their dad in the boat. And I I'm not the kind, I'm very much a daddy's girl, where I would just, thanks Jesus, I've got to be here with him actually, so sorry I can't just come. And yet, unquestioningly, the sons of thunder jumped out of the boat and went to Jesus. And so, trying to work out what does it mean to be a disciple when I'm all of those things that you mentioned before, Steve, it's as complex and as easy as come, follow me.
And I think one of those things that you're picking up there for the disciples is actually this idea that we talked about in the first week of this series around being with Jesus, that actually what coming and following me, when Jesus says that to the disciples, he's saying, come and be with me, learn from me, sit with me, talk with me, work, like listen to what I say, listen to understanding me, know my rhythms, know what I'm doing. And so I think that's an important reminder for us as we go about our journey as well, that actually that's what we're called to. It doesn't have to be this complex thing that we've got to go, oh man, I've got to get everything, all my ducks in a row to follow Jesus. No, Jesus just wants you to come and be with him.
Mm.
And we get to do that together. It's not we do this on our own. That as the disciples were together, we journey with others in our life as well.
Mm.
That we do it in our small groups, that as we gather together during the week, we're there to encourage one another, to help one another grow in God. We do it as we journey in our families, thinking about what does it look like for us to raise up the next generations in faith, but to encourage one another in faith as well. We do it with our friends, that as we talk with them, we want to be salt and light. That not every conversation has to be, oh, well, Jesus says this, but no, as I live and breathe Jesus, I'm actually living that out in my friendships as well. How do I care for you? How do I love you well in this moment?
Yeah, and I think the disciples, the model that Jesus had of taking his friends along with him it's really different to what we experience now, where they went together for a certain period of time and they would day in, day out, every single day, up in each other's space, seeing the miracles, seeing the wonders, and as humans do, probably getting cranky with each other, and they were trying to outdo each other. Who's going to sit next to you in heaven, Jesus? Like, what kind of nonsense is that? But we play that kind of nonsense with each other, right? And then when Jesus died, rose again, and then eventually went back to heaven, they scattered because there was work to be done. And I think we live much more fractured lives than that discipleship model, but we get a little taste of it when we're together. How good is this? Just to be with people who the one thing we all have in common is we love Jesus and we want to follow him. And we get to be in that model of discipleship here in church. Like, look around, because we have the vantage point here of seeing where everybody is. And Donna, I love that you got the girls to come up the front with their ribbons, because we got to see something that I see every week up the back with Grace, because she's dancing in the girls, but usually the rest of everybody else are facing the front. But like, being together, what a blessing. What a blessing that we get to be here together. So there's another little bit of come together, follow Jesus, and then go, because there's work to be done.
And I think another part of that is the generations represented. And when we think about the family of God, and that's one of the most common images for what it is to be the people of God in the Bible, is actually the family of God, that we are called to be a family. And a family has every generation in it. It has the youngest to the oldest. It's not just one generation. To be a family is actually to have everyone represented in that. And that means that everyone is going to be at different stages. I was thinking, as you were talking about the disciples, we often think that, oh yeah, like they were perfect, they had it all together. But they make the mistakes, they make the mistakes. And yet when they follow Jesus, that's their first step. They haven't been doing this discipleship thing their whole life. They just go, yeah, we're going to start somewhere, and Jesus, you are the one, and we're just going to follow you. We're going to pursue you. Actually, we're going to drop what we're doing because we see that you have life and we want to be a part of that. We want to step into this. We don't have it all together. We're not perfect. We're not the highly educated We are the hardworking ones, and we're just going to come and follow you, God, because you're calling us into something deeper, something that we haven't been invited into, which is a life with you, a life learning from you in this. I'm reading the Gospel of John at the moment, and there's a moment in that where the crowds become divided, that actually many of them want to kill Jesus. They're like, you can't be the Son of God. We want to kill you. It's not yet at that point where they actually take him to the cross, but they're doing that. And yet there's others who are saying, well, we're seeing the work of God in this, and there is no way that you can be anyone other than who you say you are, God. And Jesus turns to the disciples in that time, and he says to them, as the crowds are starting to step away from him, are you guys going to go too? And Peter's response to Jesus is, well, where else would we go? You have the word of life. You are the word of life. You are the one who gives us life. And so we could go pursue all this other stuff. And at times we'll mess it up. The disciples, they all turn their back on Jesus just a few chapters after that. But they also say, no, actually, we're in this. We are seeing you as you are. And so I think that's an encouragement for us as well, that, yeah, as we pursue God, we're not going to get it all always right. We don't get it always right. But actually, as we do it together, as we pursue God together, we're seeking to go, God, you are the one who gives us life, and we just want to love you. We want to encourage one another in this journey as well. Something that we've done in our family this week that I think came out of our sermon last week was you asked our daughter, Grace, this week, what's something that you're praying to God? What's a please prayer that you're asking God?
Yeah, something that I noticed we were doing a lot of was thank you gods in our evening prayer times, because there's just so much to be thankful for at the moment. But I think also remembering that we're allowed to not have it all together and bring our concerns and our requests to God. It feels a little bit, I don't know, I get shy around God when I want to ask him for something or when I'm worried about something, because I know that he already knows. I still get a little bit like, oh, like if you have a moment, like no worries, if not, it's fine. I'll work it out. But I want to start modeling that to her, to Grace. And it's just this wild opportunity for those of us who are parents, to model the gospel in our own homes. That's just bananas to me, that God goes, oh yes, have a small person in your care, and then you also get to model my love for them in your actions. That's so much. So, yeah, please God prayers as well as thank you God prayers. And so something I think we've been particularly challenged about recently is just we can always be praying more. And so we're trying to lean into that in a lot of areas in our family life. And so I just said, you know, if you're going to teach a child how to do something, modelling it to them is a really good way to do it. And so I said, okay, so this week I have a really big wedding. I'm a wedding planner, stylist, for those of you who I haven't spoken to about it. And I'm really nervous about how it's going to go, because it's going to take so much time and I'm going to be so busy, and I just want to make sure that I do my best work, because I know that it brings God glory. So I'm going to pray that. What are you going to pray for? And she said that she has a good day at kinder, and that she plays nicely with her friends. She's conscious of how she treats others. And, I'm being told to get that closer. There you go. That she plays nicely with her friends, so she's conscious of how she's treating other people. And then just by that little tiny step of encouraging more please God prayers, we've seen it develop into her being that little bit more confident in praying and please God and thank you God and please God and thank you God. And so seeing that work into just a really simple routine of we say our prayers at night means that she's developing her relationship And we are discipling her. It goes on, it goes around.
But also, like, she's praying for us as well.
Yeah, she's praying for us. Please help Mama have a really good time at the wedding. Please help her to do her best work, because I've shared my concerns with her. And I think it's not just with our kids, because we don't all have kids, but it's with each other as well. And just being really explicit and brave and bold. And what are you praying about this week? What are you praying into at the moment? Can I pray with you? Can I follow you up next week when that thing has happened that you were feeling a bit nervous about? Because Grace said to me the morning after the wedding, because I was out all day at the job, she said, how did your wedding go? How was it? Did they like it? Are you happy? And so sharing that with each other, what are you praying about? Can I pray with you? Can I pray for you? And going the distance with each other. It's a bit different with a human living in your house until at least 18 years old. You get to do the day in and day out of the discipleship with them. But with each other, we have this beautiful opportunity to go the distance. Right?
But that it takes intentionality. It's not something that we can just naturally do. Like, there will be people who naturally do it, I'm sure. But for most of us, it actually takes that intentionality in our conversations, in our relationships. It takes us reaching out to one another saying, hey, how are things going? What can I be praying for you in? What are you praising God for? Like, what are you thankful for at the moment? What are you struggling with? What are some questions or things that you're going through in your faith that that I can be helping you in this? I don't think these need to be complex things. I think I build them up as complex things in my head at times. I think that's natural for us. We go, oh, but what if I do this and what if I get that wrong? But part of it is how can I be loving you like God loves you in this? Because as we do this together, we actually grow in loving God together. That I am a better Christian when I am thinking about what it looks like for me to be helping others grow in their faith as well. Why? Because I'm thinking more deeply about my relationship with God as well. I'm intentional about, oh, actually, what I'm doing is stirring God in me so that I can be that blessing that He is to me, to others around me, that I want to see people flourish in their life. And so it takes that intentionality of reaching out to others around us. And maybe it's the boldness that some of us need to just be willing to say, hey, I'm just going to step out. What can I be praying for you about this week? What can I be helping you, support you in? Rather than waiting for people to come to us with their needs, stepping out into it.
Yeah, and I think that comes from opening ourselves up to curiosity about each other, curiosity without judgment of, I wonder how they're going. And just noticing things. When someone's sitting very still in church with their shoulders slumped and their head bowed, and that's out of character for them because we know each other so well that you go, are they okay? What's going on? Oh, well, onwards, probably none of my business, whatever. Maybe it is none of our business, but also maybe that's an opportunity that God has the power to make us look, just glance at things to help us to see when someone is having a really good time or having a really hard time, and then to go and connect. Because it's about the three words, one, those Greek words that Matthäus, was it? Mathetes and Matheteu.
Yep.
No, Matheteu. I don't know. There's a lot of vowels at the end of that one. But it's going along with, right? And we go along with each other in the grace and the trust that God is going before us. God's going before us and laying down our path. And I might have touch something there. Going before us and going along the path with us and helping us bump into the people that we're meant to bump into along the way, because he wants us to be his hands and his feet and his words into that person's life. whether they've been a Christian for 50 years or 5 seconds, our words matter, because when we speak God's truth, we're speaking life and we're speaking love. And if someone already loves Jesus, how much more life-giving is that when you hear it from someone you know loves him too? And when someone doesn't know, someone who doesn't know Jesus, that's speaking life into dark, dry, broken places. How beautiful is that?
And I say this, and the last thing for us, I think, is we can't actually do this if we don't have it with God, if we're not in that relationship with God. If we don't be pursuing him, that we actually won't live this out well. That we can be in the greatest community, but eventually it'll wear us out. That if we're doing this out of our own strength rather than out of God's love for us...
Yeah, it's not sustainable.
...then we'll fall down. Yes, we'll have people there to support us, but we won't be able to continue to do this. Mm. It's only as we know God's love in us that we actually get to live this out.
Yeah.
Last week at our prayer for Australia, we were praying and seeking God for Australia, and one of the words that just kept coming up was, it takes commitment. It takes commitment for us to be pursuing God. And I think as we think about what commitment is, it's actually a hunger for us to love God. It takes us doing that. Because if we want to see...
Sorry, Siri's just making me call 000. No, don't do that. This is just such an
committed.
Important thing. We've got to get paramedics involved.
But what it takes is commitment. It takes that commitment of loving God. That if we want to see revival in Australia, revival starts with us. That if we want to see people come to know God, it starts with us knowing God. And as we think about what it is to follow Jesus, we might be feeling like we're at the disciples at the end of the 3 years. We've been on this journey for a long time. We might know it. We feel like we know it all. Maybe we feel like we're a disciple starting out on that journey, that Jesus is saying to us, come, follow me. Come and be with me. Come and be in this journey. Wherever we are on that journey, whether we've been on it for ages, whether we're starting it, or whether we're not even there yet, but we're going, hey, we're thinking about this. It takes us being committed to following God, as the disciples did. It takes us laying down our own desires. Doesn't mean we have to leave our work, but it does mean, hey, I'm laying down all the things that I'm finding my identity in apart from you, God. I'm choosing to put all of those things down, whether that's my work, whether it's my schooling, whether it's my achievements, my sporting abilities, my popularity. I'm going to take this and say, no, God, actually, where I get my hope from is you. And as we grow that in us, as we seek to grow in him, then actually we will see revival, because people will see that in us and go, hey, I want that too. And that as we just become passionate for God, that shapes our relationships with one another. It shapes how we are. And so it takes us being committed. It takes us saying, yeah, God, we want to pursue you. We want to lean into you. We want to lean into you hard. We want to make all of life all about you. And so I think as we wrap it up, as we finish this series, discipleship doesn't just stop here. Following Jesus doesn't stop at the end of this series. But it is for us to go, yeah, God, we want to pursue you. And so this morning, in response to our time together, in thinking about God's word, what it means to follow him, I want us to actually take this moment. I want everyone to bow their heads. And I want us to all say, yeah, if we feel like it, God, I want to follow you. I want to be following you. I want to continue in this journey with you if we've been on this journey, or I want to step into this journey. But let's take a moment to say, God, I want to follow you. I want to be passionate for you.
Yeah, and also I think, just because it's a question that's been running around my head for the past 5 minutes, I feel like something that we need to acknowledge is, God, what are you asking me to just hold a little looser? What am I holding on to tightly to? What's the thing that you're asking me to just, like, it's okay if you just, like, have it sitting on your hand, but don't hold it so tight. Don't let it get in the way of you and me. And so repenting of the thing that God is asking us to give up and repenting for holding on to it too tightly. So let's release so we can be filled and follow. Because the boys in the boat, the sons of Zebedee, they would have had to put down their nets. What's the nets that God's asking you to put down? What's the action of climbing over a boat? I don't know if you've ever gotten out of a boat before. It's awkward and it's not messy. It's just you get wet and you run in, and running in water, that's awful, terrible, and you fall over and you get up and you're drenched, but you just know you got to go. So what is it that God's asking you to release? And then what's God asking you to step into? Come follow me.
Let's pray. God, we just come before you now. And we lay ourselves down, saying, God, we want to follow you. We want to know you more at work in us. We want to pursue you with all that we are. God, would you show us what it is in our lives that is holding us back from pursuing you deeply at the moment? God, what are the things that we've been holding tightly to that you are calling us to lay down to follow you? God, would you help us to lay them down, to have open hands to come and follow you, to step into that life that you are calling us into? And God, would you stir in us a deep passion for you? Would you bring about revival in us? Would you stir so deeply that something changes in this moment, God? That tomorrow, or even today as we go out of this building, that as we go, people would be like, man, there is something different about you. What is it that is setting you on fire? What is this hope that you're holding? What is this thing that is carrying you? What is this joy that you have? God, would you flick the switch in us? Would you be overflowing in us, we pray. God, we want to follow you. For you are the one who gives life. And it is only in your love and grace and mercy that we have life. So we come to you. Help us to be with you in the day in and the day out. And God, when we look to take up those nets again, help us to be looking again to you. In Jesus' name, amen.